Praise God. Praise the Lord, everyone. That was kind of cheesy week. Come on, you could do better than that. Praise the Lord. All right. Cheesy week. I don't know where that came from. Oh, it is so good to be here in the house of the Lord today. And if you're a guest of ours, I guess you can be seated. I'm just here to greet. It's been a few weeks since we've been here. My wife and I've been on vacation, and we're slated to go on a 5-state tour out west. And we got just partial. We got about 2 days into it, had some mechanical issues, and we ended up having to come back home for a few days, and then we just left. And played it. Have you ever had one of those best laid plans just kind of sometimes just fall apart? And we're good with that. We had a good time irregardless. But it is so great to be here. If you're a guest of ours here today, it is an honor to have you here with us worshiping here at Calvary Gospel Church. I just want to encourage, if you come here today and you're frustrated, we live in a frustrating, broken-down world. And so many people are frustrated, and so many people are angry, and there's so many emotions and so many things going on in our world today. But there's such a peace. I feel such a peace here in the house of the Lord today. And I am thankful. So it's an honor to have you here. God bless you all. And we're going to have Pastor Seidel. He's our MC today. He's going to come and wrap up with some other details. God bless you.
Praise God. I was on schedule to greet everyone, but I asked Pastor to come up because I was sure that everyone wanted to hear from him. So that's why we're doing the handoff, in case anyone's wondering. We'd like to remind everyone that we do have an opportunity to give, and the giving options, if you're worshiping today in person, you can drop your offering in the plexiglass container on the kiosk out in the vestibule, or you can give online, cgcmadison.org/giving. You can always give in the mail, and of course you can text to give And the number is there, 608-719-3883. And please, if you will, designate, if you text to give, designate what your offering is for, tithes or offering, or if it's any kind of special offering. Amen. Move the Mission is designated by She's for Christ. If you still want to give to that, SFC. And then, of course, we have coming up in October our All Nations Sunday offering. So keep that in mind as well. Amen. We want to welcome all of our guests. If you're a guest of ours, hopefully you received a connection card. And if you did, please take advantage of that. You can fill that out and give it one of the ushers or drop it off at the kiosk, and we have a small gift for you. If you're with us online, you can go to the bit.ly link and fill out your information there. We just want to let you know how much we appreciate you being our guest. We want you to feel at home here, part of the family of God. You're welcome, and we want to encourage you in that. In Jesus' name. Please remember, coming up on Friday, October 1st, almost said August 1st, October 1st, we have an all-church prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. Amen. And then we will have on October 10th a special speaker here, Brother Aaron Wright, pastor and evangelist from Danville, Pennsylvania. And he will be our guest speaker then. Most of us have heard Pastor Wright before. We know what a dynamic speaker he is. It's a great time to bring someone, to bring a guest, and to hear the word of the Lord together. Let's stand together and let's go to the Lord in prayer. We want to pray for Jennifer Haight. She's not feeling well this morning. It's been a week or so. Pray for her recovery. If you have a need, please lift your hand and identify your need before the Lord and before His people, and we will trust that God knows our needs before we pray. Let's pray for the remainder of the service in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, God, for your presence in this place. We know, God, you're everywhere all the time, but we especially are grateful that we can come together and enjoy the move of your Spirit in the house of God. We pray, oh God, for your blessing upon Sister Jennifer Haight, oh God, that the presence and power of God would be tangible for her right now, that she could have faith to receive healing and recover, oh God, from this illness. Touch her, Lord, with your blessing, your hand. In Jesus' name, we pray for this remainder of this service, for everyone who's here today, for everyone who is with us online, that you will use the word of God, that you will anoint Pastor Simmons, that you will anoint each of us to hear your word, that you will have your way in our hearts and our minds, so that your will be done and your kingdom come. And we give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord together.
God is your foundation. victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. And forevermore, you are victorious. We lift our banner high. We lift the name of Jesus. From age to age you reign. Your kingdom has no end. We lift our banner high. We lift the name of Jesus. From age you reign. Your kingdom has no end. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, be lifted higher. Higher, be lifted higher.
We can all turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse number 1. Sorry, I know that the gifts of the Spirit are operating. If that was your moment, it's okay. If you missed it, it's fine. Maybe God will use you again in a few moments, it's fine. Genesis 1, verse 1, the title of this sermon is Out of the Darkness. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was nothing, was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehendeth it not." You may be seated. Sorry, I'm struggling to speak. It's going to be a little bumpy, it looks like. Light is the first step of revelation. You can't have any revelation of any kind without light shining upon something that's not visible. Light reveals things that cannot be seen because of the darkness, the absence of light. Oftentimes, we gravitate away from darkness. We gravitate away from things that are negative. It's not very awesome to hear people's sad stories. It gets belaboring. People who have dark times, it's just tough to deal with them. Exodus 10:21 was the ninth plague. It was the plague of darkness. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, and there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. There is a type of darkness that you can feel. Oftentimes, this plague is the brushed over plague. I always watch Sunday school. They talk about the lice and the frogs and the water turning to blood. Those are all things you can see, but you can't see darkness. It's just the absence of anything. It's just dark. We have a hard time connecting with darkness. We can see the frogs and the lice, but we can't see darkness in our minds. Darkness is the absence of light. It's the absence of revelation. This plague, the ninth plague, was the greatest of severity of the 10 plagues besides that leading to death. Darkness. It was the dark plague that caused Pharaoh. It's like, man, I think I might give up on this fight with God. Oftentimes, Scripture is filled with dark imagery. Scripture is filled with spiritual darkness passages. And we don't often like to bring those to the pulpit. So I'm facing an uphill battle today. But Job 3:1 says, after this opened Job's mouth, and he cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let the day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it, and blackness of the day terrify it. As for the night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come unto the number of months. Let the night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that day, that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their morning. Let the stars of the twilight therefore be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shutteth not the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from my eyes. Job 10:20 says, are not my days few? Cease then, and let them be alone, that I may take comfort a little before I go whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, and a land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where light is as darkness. We often hit the highlights of Job's life, but we rarely want to visit the darkest of scriptures from the pulpit. Let me remind you, though, that Job was a hero of faith that experienced great darkness in his life. Like many of us, we've all experienced some form of darkness. They say that the teen years from like 16 to 24 are some of the darkest days that you can experience in a life. Others say that young parents who have their first child, that sometimes that the mother will go into a time of darkness after the child is born that they cannot completely comprehend or explain. Others say it's the change of life later on. Men who chemicals change in their body, testosterone, whatever, experience a type of darkness that is slow and fading. Other times, it's ladies' change of life, something in their elder years, whenever things just aren't the same. A type of darkness that nobody really wants to talk about, that comes upon a person, hard to explain. Sometimes it's the elder years, when you're senior years, when you're empty house, empty nest, family members passed away, friends have gone on, and you're there by yourself just looking at the four walls, wondering if anybody will come by and visit you this month or this year. It's a type of darkness that can come on a person that make them speak kind of like Job sometimes. They wouldn't tell anybody. Job was transparent. Preaching in this manner is hard because I'm trying to paint a picture. But how can you paint darkness? Darkness is one of the most used images of Scripture. It's the image that we first see in Scripture. Darkness is used extensively, metaphorically speaking. Light is good. Darkness is bad. Light is enlightenment. Darkness is confusion. Light is hope. Darkness is despair. I know a little bit about darkness. I posted a Facebook post about a month ago. It just come to mind. And I'll just read some of this if that's okay. At one point in my life, I was managing three simultaneous nationwide student tours. I organized 60 students for daily church services while directing a large drama, while getting my master's in organizational leadership at night, while building a couple of cool hot rods in my garage, while having a newborn baby, while squeezing in some Bible studies, while being the intern pastor of a church that was 2 hours from my house. I was just having a blast, actually. That seems like a lot, but it was cool. Everything was fun. I didn't burn out, but life was changed for me multiple times over a very short period of time. And then fast forward from a massively impacting time in my life to about 5 years later, you will see me open the door for the last family in our small, struggling church plant. And they were leaving for the last time. And the lady there, who God had basically put in my life supernaturally, this was her last moment in which she could give me words of encouragement, and she hands me a small paper calendar about 6x6 and said that I needed to learn how to use it. From that point, in between was something I can only describe as some slow-moving, long depression. In the middle of it, I literally could not move. I could not function. The paper calendar that sat upon the table was defeating me every day. Today, I would burn the pages off of anything paper. But at that time, in that moment, my skill set was unusable because my brain was complete fog. I could not feel anything. It's easy to dismiss entire weeks, even months, mentally checking out and spending your entire life showing up to other people's plans because you simply don't have a plan for yourself besides just trying to survive another day. Hopefully nobody can relate to me right now. But if you've been in that position in your life, you know what I'm talking about. I want you to understand God was with me even when I couldn't move. And I could never deny that. He's also there for you. When I couldn't deliver myself, he delivered me. I was so weak, I could barely even be thankful. When people were counting on me, I was so broken. Somehow God made a way. But hopelessness is the absence of God. I was never hopeless. God showed himself to me dozens of times. I just couldn't perform. I couldn't function. But he made a way. Now you do not need some... I'm just going to skip on. I don't want to... Like I said, I've had some pretty dark stretches in my days. Some self-inflicted. Other times people were just being straight evil. Simply put, Satan knows something about you. Satan knows what could be, what he could do, what God could do through you, if you ever could shake Satan's nasty hands off your mind. It's hard to see when you already feel like you're drowning in darkness. That's easy for you to say, you might say back to me, well, today I'm here to say that I can speak to your darkness in your moment because I've experienced it myself. It's hard to come to this pulpit today because darkness is not something you want to show people. It's not exactly the thing you put on Instagram. It's not exactly what you want to talk about when you're sitting down with people out to eat. There are many reasons that you can experience darkness. I can't really understand it all, but I don't understand why... I'm thinking of all the different reasons here. while your first love decided not to make it work. I've seen people lose it over that. It's just dark days. I don't understand why grandparents and family members are just too busy sometimes as for the children. And the children go into stages in their teen years of darkness where they have not really engaged with anybody. It's just sad. I don't know why people hate for no reason whatsoever and cause folks to pull away from groups of peer groups and pull out of situations whenever they experience the hate from others. I don't understand why family members aren't always faithful. I don't know why when you're the most faithful one, others are just not there for you. I don't know why life you planned, maybe you're not completely living to the fullness. I don't know why the road is so long. I don't know why people have to die. I don't know why our loved ones pass. I don't understand some of the things that I've had to experience in life, like the one time whenever my son was premature and he was on a heart monitor and we were an hour away from the hospital, and the heart monitor just flatlines and everything goes blank and he passes out. And for an hour, driving 120 miles an hour to the hospital as fast as we could, I shake and I scream in the car trying to keep my son awake and alive. It weighs maybe 4 or 5 pounds. There's some experiences that change you a little bit on the inside after you experience them. Some of you that have gone through military, you have stories that you just cannot tell. There's things that you experience, maybe if you work in the medical field, that are just not something that you can bring to any table. They're just something tucked away on a shelf somewhere in the back. You don't really know how to deal with. Too many walks down the hospital hallways, too many trips behind an ambulance to the ER, too many bad reports. I can't understand why the cars flip over and people are thrown out. I don't understand why mentors might turn their back on their own spiritual children sometimes. I don't understand why people stop following Jesus. I don't understand why people can't obey the gospel when you teach them for years on end. I don't understand why there's racism and bigotry. I don't understand why people backslide. I don't understand why the best man at my wedding will no longer speak to me because he fell away from the Lord. I don't understand why there's poverty or why there's hunger or war or sickness. I don't understand cancer. I don't understand death. I don't understand the valley of the shadow of death. I don't know why you can feel darkness sometimes. Occasionally, even a sacrifice that you would offer to the Lord will bring a spiritual battle that you would not expect. In Genesis 15:11 says, "And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away." He had to fight for his sacrifice. In the next scripture, "And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him." I don't understand that scripture. It was in the covenant chapter. A chapter that would change. This is the covenant chapter that we are grafted into. Abraham was doing a work that he had no concept of how it would far reach into the end of the earth. And in that, he struggled to keep his sacrifice clean. He struggled to fight the darkness. It's not uncommon for certain ministries to face darkness when they are engaging the enemy territory. For me, every time I deal with some substantial movement in men's ministry, I have to battle darkness. The enemy does not want men to rise up. The same goes for church planning. If I make moves in a new community or with a group, eventually I'll have to engage some darkness. The enemy does not want churches, new churches, to rise up. The same goes for fighting for things like unity, especially the kind of unity that overcomes racial divides or ethnic divides or gender divides or social divides. We have a darkness that comes around to try to keep that going, because the enemy does not want unity and diversity to rise up in the church. I've heard many stories from foreign missionaries who face the darkness of the areas they are called to minister. Oftentimes, the areas they minister are in serious spiritual darkness, We hear Paul sometimes even make mention of these things and complain of the things. One of the scriptures that just points out to me is 2 Timothy 4:10 says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed into Thessalonica." It crescends to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Basically, I'm alone. Eventually, we find Paul kind of leaning into darkness. Philippians 3:10 says, "That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." For some reason, Paul came to this conclusion that nothing was going to separate him from the love of Christ. But the closer he got to Christ, the more he was conformable unto the death that Jesus experienced. It must have been a dark experience to know that you are facing your own execution while you write the letters to the churches. Sometimes you can be surrounded by people and yet be facing darkness and grief. Matthew 26:38 says, "And then he said unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Matthew 26:39, "And he went a little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Jesus, the perfect example of how to deal with darkness. His soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. I don't know why our closest companions can't stay and pray just 1 hour sometimes. Job's storyline shows that close companions can even rise up and question Job. They rose up and they questioned Job's integrity in the midst of darkness. It must have been Job's fault that he was experiencing the things that he was experiencing. Jesus understood darkness. Isaiah 53:3 says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised and he was esteemed not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and the rich his death. And because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Mark 15:34 says, "And at the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." I can't say it right. I can't. "Which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" His ministry was one that of bringing light into darkness. And yet he said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me." It's these types of scriptures that shut the mouths of the name it and claim it preachers. prosperity gospel preachers can't really explain darkness. Their doctrine is incompatible. There comes a time in our lives, no matter how well lived, that darkness creeps in and steals a day, or steals a week, or steals a month, or steals a year. Psalm 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Stories like Job's story, or Elijah's story, David's story, Jeremiah's story, or Jonah's story, or any of the prophets of old stories, they all are sprinkled with a little darkness. We all experience it. So let's talk about what it takes to come out. Isaiah 61 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim an acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, and the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." In the darkest times, in the darkest chapter that I can find of all of Scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, in the midst of the worst chapter, this little glimmer of hope sticks out. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, that then shall ye call upon me, and shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." I'm glad I know a God who can give me gladness for mourning and beauty for ashes. The fact that this is necessary sometimes only points to the fact of the truth that in life, we have to face the darkness. Thankfully, we have a deliverer. I don't really know how the human mind works, but for me, sometimes things that I go through, I package up in nice little tight packages and I put them on shelves in the far back corner, and I like to just turn the lights off on those times of my life and forget that they existed. Somewhere in the darkness, in the back, I try to avoid them. I don't want to talk about them. 1 in 5 adults face some type of mental illness in any given year. Something we need to talk about. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." In other words, that's saying that there's a supernatural part of us that is renewed day by day, but there's a part of us that is not renewed day by day, and it's subject to things that can cause us to struggle. 1 Corinthians 15:42 says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, but is raised in incorruption," saying that the Holy Ghost is given to us in our corrupt form. Something's just wrong with us that Adam gave to us. He passed along a sin nature that will eventually lead to death. It's appointed to every man wants to die, right? Somehow we bypass the natural flow of death when we become reborn in the Spirit of God. And we become renewed in our mind, in our thinking. This has been one of the hardest sermons I think I've ever wrote in my life. It doesn't really flow very well. I didn't expect a great response. What I wanted to see happen is if somebody here today is struggling with some darkness in their lives, they don't know how to deal with it, that maybe you can understand that you're not alone. Not only you're not alone, you're never alone. we're here, but Jesus is always here. He's always there. And almost, though my flesh and my heart may fail, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My flesh may fail, my heart even may fail, but my God is my strength of my heart and my portion forever. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall fail and be weary, the young man shall even utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Don't let your darkness be wasted. There's things you can find in the dark that no one knew was even there. God is always there. He's always there. Don't let this experience that you have just be totally about you. If you face darkness, loss, whatever it is, don't let it be about you. Turn to God. Be of a contrite spirit. Look to the Lord, as every one of these patriarchs that I mentioned, they did. They had their dark moments, but they eventually, they got through those moments and they turned to Jesus, or they turned to prayer, or they turned to something that changed their lives. You understand that Jesus healed the one who arrested him in the darkness. He served the one who betrayed him in the darkness. He loved the ones who crucified him in his darkest moments. He was a friend that sticketh closer to the brother, his heavenly Father, and he's waiting for you and with open arms. Please don't self-medicate and self-distract into work overload. Please don't lean on sensory addictions and imagination and to pass endless amounts of time. Please don't seek out fruitless relationships to appease your longing and your loneliness. Please don't deep dive in social media looking for connection that never satisfies. Please don't wrap yourself up in books and media knowing that you will never really know the characters that live in those books, but you can know the one in the one book. You can meet him. Please don't binge watch Netflix and YouTube until you've watched season after season after season of things that just don't help you in any way, and then be let down at the last show thinking, why did they have to stop the story? I was living my life in that. Please don't dabble in self-harm, because even though pain is an emotion, is not an emotion that you want to feel something, so you want to feel pain, don't do that. Don't dabble. Don't do that. That's not the way to go. Don't do it. Please don't go the opposite direction and create fancy photo shoots of perfect fake lighting and fake edited photos and fake smiles for your fake friends on Instagram. Please don't. Honey, hold on to the gold that you have. Don't trade all your gold for cheap plastic of this world. I find within myself the battle with the darkness causes a side effect in me that seems opposite of how I would naturally understand dealing with darkness, depression, and that is one of anger. Anger that comes when I face situations that can't be fixed. Anger that comes when I face situations that can't be managed. Anger that comes when I'm powerless to help. Anger that comes when I can't fix anything. I can't solve anything. I can't do anything about the situation I'm looking at. I just see the darkness. It's taken a long time in my life to understand that the anger is tied to the darkness for me. For you gentlemen that might be sitting on the pews today that's hiding behind your anger, I want you to understand you're just simply afraid of the dark. Anger seems to have me roaring at the darkness, but it never changes the process. Roaring never makes the sun come up any faster. The valley of the shadow of death is only defeated one way, Psalm 23:1 says, "And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me down and leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." 1 foot in front of the other. That's the only way. Thou art with me. He will not leave you comfortless. Psalm 139 says, even there shall thy hand lead me. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as day, and the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. Something very strange about that scripture. Let's all stand. The science of light is complex. Even though our natural eyes can perceive light, in darkness, light can still shine as noonday. Light can shine in darkness, and we cannot perceive it because the spectrum of light is greater than our ability to perceive it. There's this thing called ultraviolet light. We cannot perceive ultraviolet light, but it's shining. We cannot see infrared light, but it's shining. Our perspective, the sensors that God placed on our head, our eyeballs, are light sensors. And they have a spectrum range that we can perceive light. Outside of the range that we are naturally given, light still shines. You understand? It's just like a dog whistle. It literally is. You can blow a dog whistle, and it makes a sound. The dogs can hear it. Their ears hear the waves of sound. Our ears are not capable of hearing that same wave. Sound and light are simply waves of energy on the same spectrum. Sound at the lower end, light at the highest end. The waves of light that we cannot perceive are still shining at all times. Even when we perceive darkness, light's still shining. Does that make sense? Darkness, in theory, is a myth. There is not a place in the universe so dark that God is not shining light of His glory, even if we can't see it. It's often the darkest places we find God. Sometimes you just have to close your eyes and lean in. Honestly, it's always been that same way. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's just something our eyes fool us into thinking. God isn't there in the darkness, but He is. I have a strange scripture to read, and then we're going to come and pray. The scripture tells me where God dwells in darkness. He's present. And darkness has such a negative connotation to us that we have a hard time understanding it. We've been programmed by everything in life to avoid darkness. But I'm asking you for a moment just to let me read this one chapter. And if you're struggling here today after I read this chapter with some darkness or something that's going on in your life, and it can be anything, I want you to just come down here and pray. I think God can do a miracle in your life today in the Holy Ghost. I think there's some deliverance that needs to take place for men who are hiding behind their anger but really struggling with the darkness they can't comprehend or understand. I think there may be some ladies here that don't really know how to deal with the situations that have been handed to them by the chemicals in their body. by having children or coming to a different age in life. I'm here to tell you that God understands darkness. He understands what you're going through. And He can help you through the darkness. But it takes one foot after another. And so today, the first steps I would like you to take on that path out of darkness is to this altar. One foot in front of the other. I feel like I need to read the scripture, so I'm going to do that. After this, the altars will be available for you to come and pray. And He said, 2 Samuel 22:2. Sorry, I'm off the rails with you a little bit. I didn't tell you this one. And He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge and my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compass me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed about me, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of heaven moved and shook, because He was wroth. There went up a smoke out of His nostrils, and the fire of His mouth devoured, and the coals were kindled by it." This isn't against you. This is against your enemies, by the way. "He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under His feet. And He made darkness pavilions round about Him, dark waters, thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before Him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered His voice, and He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundation of the world were discovered. And at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of His nostrils, He sent from above, He took me, and He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from the strong enemy, and from them that hated me, and from them that were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place, and He delivered me, because He delighted in me." Let me tell you something. The enemy is the one that's truly afraid of the dark. Don't be fooled today by what you might be struggling with. If you would, can you just come down and pray? If any ministers are here and you have some counseling background, if you see someone that's really praying, would you come down and help them? We're just going to have a time of prayer. We're only 5 after 12. It's all right.
Is my shepherd, He goes before me, defender behind me, I won't fear, I'm filled with anointing. Overflowing, no weapon can harm me. I won't fear. Hallelujah, I am not alone. mountains and valleys. His joy is refreshing, restores my soul. Mercy and
yeah.
walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me.
John Seidel for two incredible messages today. We are to be a beacon to a dark world. It's an old song, a very old song. Talks about God walking in the darkness. All been there. If we haven't been there, we may be on our way there. Because we don't know what tomorrow may hold. But we know who holds tomorrow. Sure love and appreciate you, church. And I'm so thankful that we all have a God. I'm so thankful that I have a Savior. That no matter what happens, no matter what happens, He's always, always going to love me. Always going to have my best interest. Going to cover my back. God bless you. Thank you so very much, Brother Jerry and Brother John Seidel. God bless you all. We'll be, I'm not even for sure who's speaking. I might be speaking Wednesday night. I don't know. I haven't looked at the schedule. On vacation, somehow, some way, my email that I have, our church email, it just quit working about halfway through, and it hasn't picked up yet, so I think it's still on mountain time. But anyway, so if I'm speaking Wednesday night, we'll see you here Wednesday night. If not, we'll still see you here Wednesday night. God bless you. Have a blessed, blessed day, blessed weekend. God bless.